Praise God. We're going to continue tonight in Mark. And just for the sake of tradition, have a text in Mark chapter 1. Well, we will be perusing. Mark 1, and let's start with verse 9. ARC starts July 7. Brother Nate Wilson, Brother Steve Pixler will be working the days. It'll be some of the richest word that you're going to get anywhere. And then in the evenings, I can't tell you what's going to happen in that place. Brother Sam Emery and Brother Cody Marks are going to work those night services, and it's just going to be an explosive atmosphere. And I just have a vivid mental image. Every year, it just seems to get better and more intense. I always wonder if it'll ever be as good the following year. But this is our 17th year. And how many of you young folks are under the age of 17? Yeah, we've been new to ARC longer than you've been alive. That's amazing to me, because it seems like we just got started, you know. But I'm excited about ARC this year. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. And we'll talk about this tonight. God bless you. If you love his word, as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and thanks, and let's magnify his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, O God. We magnify your name. Thank you for your word, forever settled in the heavens. And just in this first chapter of Mark, we have the emergence of the Christ, which is prophetic and astounding, that God comes out of heaven and steps foot on the earth, robed in flesh. We have, as you're reading here, we have the fulfillment of prophecy. John is prophetic. He's spoken of by Isaiah 600 years before he appears. He's spoken of Malachi in the last Old Testament book, 400 years before the birth of John or Jesus. And so you have astounding prophetic fulfillment. You have these perfect eternal patterns that are taking place on the earth, because God speaks it how it's going to be, and the prophet sees it, and the prophet sees into that fifth dimensional, static, spoken, eternal word of God. And he says, this is how it's going to be, and it can be no other way. Just as surely as Israel is in the land and Russia and Iran are doing nuclear business together and all the nations are aligned and all the prophecy is coming to pass, it was spoken about John and Jesus. And what you're seeing in this first chapter of the book of Mark are eternal patterns already established in the heavens coming to pass on the face of the earth. You have, just in this one chapter, demons in a synagogue that cry out, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And you have him casting out the devils. And if you don't understand, I'm enumerating the supernaturals that are taking place just in this one chapter. Everything is supernatural. Every word is supernatural. The characters are supernatural. And they are players that have come and set foot in a very, very natural world. The sand is hot on their feet just like it is on everybody else's. The wind burns them like it does everyone. They have come down. They are other dimensional characters that have come down. Or they are people like these apostles that hear the call of God and they respond to God. And all of these rivers of supernatural pulse are flowing through this first chapter here. And it all happens in a place that is much like the world that you and I are living in. There are people that are walking up and down the streets in Jerusalem in this day and in Birmingham in our day who have no idea at all about the moving of the supernatural power of God. They are totally locked into their singular dimensional way of life, and they are resistant to the idea that there's anything else, and it threatens them. But I thank God tonight that you and I had an appointment to come together. And I know you had prayer today, and I know you've been touching the Word of God today already. But there's something about it when we come together and we begin to call on His name together. He said, if two or three of you are there in my name, He said, I'm going to be there in the midst. There's something about it. God exponentially blesses the gathering of His people. One of you can be powerful. One of you can set 1,000 to flight. But two of you, there's something powerful when we come together. Something just in our coming together under the banner of His name, in the power of His word, by the unction of His Holy Ghost, just coming together. Something begins to open up. Something begins to flow down out of another world. And I want to awaken, if I can possibly, I just don't know how this goes off in your heart or in your mind, but I want to awaken you to the fact that the enemy wants to wear you down and life wants to press you down until you're just making it from day to day and job to job and assignment to assignment, and you just lost the capacity to look up. He wants you to forget that there's something higher, something better. But David's got a word for you tonight. He said you need to lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from God. You need to be like the gates of Jerusalem. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Don't forget there's a God in heaven. Don't forget there's a promise for you. Don't forget there's a word that's already settled in the heavens. Touch your neighbor tonight and tell them, don't forget. Touch them and say, don't forget God. Don't forget the moving of the Holy Ghost. Don't forget the promise of the word of God. Don't forget there's miracles. Don't forget there's a way maker. Don't forget there's a healer. Don't forget there's a provider. Don't forget there's a light in a dark place. Saddest thing in the world when God's people forget and they're just slogging along like everybody else, those that don't know God. And God's people are like, they've been reduced like Samson to just grinding at the gristmill of the world. Reduced where he's got to chasing after skirts, chasing after his need for vengeance, chasing after his own agenda. And before it's over, he's lost his vision. He's blind as a bat. He's chained up to what the world has assigned him to be and to do. And he's lost the glory and the splendor and the unction and the wonder, the supernatural power of God. And that's where the enemy wants you tonight. And that's where he wants your home. And that's where he wants your family. And that's where he wants this church. But we're not going there. We're not going there. Not going there. Going to have a prayer that touches God. Going to walk in the midst of their day. But we're going to know God. And the promise is, they that do know their God shall do exploits. Praise God. Anybody get your heart fixed? I'm not going to forget God. I'm going to walk in this. We could join all manner of social gatherings. We could be involved in all kinds of things, but we're here because we've fallen in love with a supernatural word from a supernatural God, and we've got a desire for it and a hunger for it, and this is just the beginning. We want to go away and live with Him forever in the midst of something absolutely beyond this world. In this first chapter, there's the call of God, which is from another world. There is the remission of sins. John's baptizing at Jordan for the remission of sins. And that comes from another world. The ledger book is held and kept in another world. There is with the business of repentance and remission of sins from John to Israel. There is the unspoken condition of their covenant with God. The supernatural fact that men can have a covenant with God, and God comes and sees about them, and God comes to minister to them. Jesus, after he's baptized, goes driven by the Spirit into the wilderness where he's tempted of Satan. And Satan is an other dimensional character. He's come down from heaven. He's dwelling on the earth, but he's a spirit. He's a fallen angel. And then after Jesus defeats Satan in the wilderness, then the angels come and minister to him. I'm just banging on this anvil one more time to tell you it's all around you. The supernatural is all around you. The promise is all around you. The word of God is undergirding you. The hand of God is there for you. You don't have to live beneath your privilege in the kingdom of God. You don't have to go another day without the joy of God. You don't have to go another day without the peace of God. No, somebody needs to get a hold of this tonight. You don't have to go another day without victory in your life. Touch your neighbor and say, do you have the victory? All the old folks used to ask us that. And long before we understood what they meant, we would say, yeah, got it. I don't know what they mean. In this first chapter of Mark, there's the power to overcome. And by the word of God, Jesus overcomes the devil in the wilderness. There is the healing of a leper, and there are multitudes that come for healing. Everybody that believes it, say, I believe in healing. Well, praise God, we still do. We believe everything in the book that's ever been still is. We believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that, and I don't care if I prayed for you 100 times and nothing happened, I'll pray for you again. Because I don't do the miracle, I just pray the prayer. But I serve a God that is able. Don't you put away the promise just because you're going through a hard time. Don't put away the promise because you hadn't seen it move in a while. Get a hold of this thing. In this first chapter of Mark, there's ministry, there's faith, all of these intangibles. Very real, very powerful things, but intangible things because they are visitors when they come down to this arena of existence. And they abide here by the fact that somebody gets a hold of something in another dimension and holds on to it. Praise God. It doesn't happen everywhere. Because there's got to be somebody that's receiving and participating and believing and rejoicing in the things of God. In this first chapter, there is revelation. In the first chapter, Jesus finds a place and there is prayer. In the first chapter here, there is preaching. John preaches and Jesus preaches. And twice in this first chapter, they are amazed because he speaks as one having authority. And they said, look, he's got even power to cast out devils. Even the devils recognize his authority. And so there's heaven-breathed authority. And this is in one chapter of the Bible. And this is just in one chronicle of just a few days passing in this story of the Word of God. But I want you to be alive to the fact that it's all around us. It's above us and beneath us, and it follows us, and it lies ahead of us. If you have your name in His book, and if you're born of His name, His Spirit, and His blood, I'm telling you, the supernatural is all around your life every day. My God, somebody shake yourself just a little bit. Say, well, you're just trying to stir me up. I am. I really am. I want to. You say, well, I already believe all this. I'm walking in this. That's right. I'm trying to jack you up to another level. I'm trying to jazz you till you get in a place where you can't stand. Not to have another breathing, moving, vibrant experience in God. Where you're hungry for it like you're hungry for food. Where you're desperate for it like you're desperate for air or water. I need another touch of the Holy Ghost. Because this world will wear you down and dull your senses and cause you to forget to cry out and make you climb up in bed at night having crossed everything off your to-do list but prayer. And it's the beginning of the end for you, or it's the beginning of mediocrity in the spirit. Place where you can't experience what God has for you. Praise God. I got to prioritize. I got to get this right. If I don't get anything else right, I got to get this right. Praise God. So, we want these babies to grow up expecting a move of God. We want them to grow up expecting people to get the Holy Ghost in every service. We want them to grow up expecting a miracle. We want them to grow up knowing they can walk right boldly into the presence of God and call on His name because He is their Father. I want that to get in them, in their mind, and in their spirit. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so the first chapter of Mark is full of encounters with higher dimensional experiences. It's not a recitation of they went to the market, they went fishing, they herded their sheep, they served Rome, they hung out in Jerusalem, everybody went home and went to bed, got up and did it again tomorrow. It's not a secular, powerless recitation. But in just this one chapter, there's every kind of supernatural, higher dimensional moving and flowing, touching and designing and shaping destinies. And I'm just telling you, it's all over this house tonight. It's all up in this house and in your house and in your life and in your family tonight. One of the greatest challenges is to keep your vision and to stay connected and to keep it on the top of your list. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stop for a moment. Let's clap our hands into Him and bless His name. Praise God. Somebody shout a little bit. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Somebody give Him a wow! Oh, yeah. You know, there's just something about that. I was raised in church all my life. People never did any of that. But they'd go down to the ball field and shout themselves hoarse. They'd go down to the gymnasium and they'd be on their feet. They'd be stomping their feet on those old cheap bleachers. Sounded like thunder. They'd travel miles and miles and pack picnic lunches and take a half day off work or a whole day off work. Just go to chase that ball game wherever it went. But they didn't do this in church. What you just did, and I can't review this all
First dimension is a snail going from point A to point B. Hey, Dustin, you still got that? Can't do it. Can you do it? Second dimension is a plane. It's like Rover, your dog. And he's not straight line like that snail, but he's not going much anywhere. He's all over the map, but he's... And people that live in these dimensions are like conditioned criminals or insane people or people that are addicted to drugs or alcohol or pornography, and they spend their whole day like that snail in search of that one thing, and nobody else exists around them. But most people live in the third, which is like a cube, and it's funny, that's kind of like your house, and it's like all the houses in the neighborhood, and it's an emphasis on being separate. It's an emphasis on analysis. It's an emphasis on taking care of business. And this is good. This is not a bad thing. This is where you learn to read and write and brush your teeth and social conventions and cultural mores. And you learn how to wash your socks once a week at least. And you learn how to balance a checkbook and pay your electric bill. And that's really good because... In terms of a discussion of dimensional experience, if you don't get it right in earlier or lower levels of dimension, you have almost no chance in stepping up to the higher or having any duration of experience at a higher level. Just for example, if you just go out and blow all the money on Krispy Kreme and moon pies and big oranges, and you can't make that ledger balance at the end of the month, and they come and turn off the lights, you're going to have a hard time here in this family operating in fourth and fifth and sixth dimensional experiences, because you're going to be down here just struggling at this level and so welded to this because you haven't learned the lessons that you never can get the liberty to look up. And so when I'm talking about third dimension, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You need to know how to brush your teeth. And you need to know the wonders and the magic of deodorant. And you need to... I got some amens. You just need to learn those things because that helps you survive and accomplish. But the problem with being successful at the third dimension is that you look back at the snail and the dog and you know that they're not like you. And so you kind of resist human behavior that moves in those areas. And then when you look and you find somebody that's not like you, that a whacked out, wild-eyed, frenetic Pentecostal, you're suspicious of that too. And you're resistant to that because you know what it does. When you get to walking in a higher dimension in terms of the things of God, the call of God, a real dynamic prayer life, God starts talking to you and God starts doing stuff, and it threatens that third dimensional experience because God starts talking to you about supporting missionaries. And God starts talking to you about forgiving your enemies and reconciling with people that have done you bad and all kind of things that you really don't want to do. And so those higher dimensional callings threaten that lower dimension. But if you don't ever get the third right, you'll never get into the fourth. When I just had you clapping your hands and lifting your voices and shouting, and all, you know what you were doing right there? The reason that folks love the ball games and they love Hollywood and they love concerts and they love all, because all of those things are fourth dimensional experiences where people get together and there's a flow and there's a camaraderie and there really is something spiritual that goes on there. There's a spiritual move that goes on when you get 95,000 people together down in Tuscaloosa. There's something that goes there, and it gets a hold of people. It gets all over them.
And they tell you, oh, there's nothing like that. When I go there, I just feel. But it doesn't have any lasting or durative promise for them. So it's an empty illusion for them. But it is a fourth dimension. When we talk about these dimensions, they're not good or bad or indifferent. They're just there. And so you can have somebody that has a fourth dimensional experience in the things of God. Just like you, what you were doing just now, clapping your hands, lifting your hands, raising your voice. All of that's fourth dimensional. And because of that, you're tapping into something higher. When you start doing that, you start feeling something. Something starts moving. The quickest way to die in an apostolic church is to sit like this. And the only reason you sit like that is either you don't know what's going on. Now, if you're sitting like this right now, I'm not talking about you. I'm just telling you. Okay. But you're not operating in the mechanics of the Word of God, and you either don't know how, or you knew how, and you're for some reason resistant because you're mad at God or you're mad at the preacher. Are you mad at your sister or brother across the house? Something. But at any rate, if you're not moving, you're not going to ever engage the fourth dimension. It's an active, proactive pursuit. I mean, and all you got to do is follow the Word of God. Clap your hands, all you people. Lift your voice in a shout. Praise Him on stringed instruments, organs. Praise Him in the dance. Leap for joy. Shout. What is all that about? That's the manual for how you move out of the third into the fourth. That's what that's all about. That's why we put such a high premium on the worship. And it's not just about saying how good God is. When God gave them the tabernacle, He didn't just give them a list of things to do to please Him. He gave them a process for entering into His presence. And so when we begin to follow the dictates of the Word of God, it's not just obeying to please God, although it does, but we are literally moving into the place where God is by the anointing, by the power of God. The supernatural is available. Prophecy begins to move. The anointing of God begins to move. That's why we do that. That's why we don't want to have a dead service. That's why we can't have dead church. That's why we've got to come in with a shout. My God, make something move. It's a fourth dimensional kid, not satisfied to live in the third. My God.
Did you know you were a fourth dimensional kid? Stop. And so we want to tap the fourth. Do you know right now you are being bombarded with all kinds of things that you can't see, like radiation from a dying star, AM and FM, all kinds of light spectrum waves, and there's just a world of wave activity around you, and it's real. And if you had a little receiver, if we had a receiver on you, we could pick up all kind of music. You'd be our personal boombox. We could pick up Fox News. Let's see, Bill O'Reilly comes back on at 10 o'clock. It's out there in the air right now. It's out there in the air right now. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Do you know it's there? Well, just academically, you know it's there. You know the angels of God are encamped round about you? Where is all that stuff? Well, it's not here. It's there. It's right there at the next level. It's where it is. And it's possible for people to harness it in natural ways if it has natural application. But some of the stuff out there has spiritual application. And it's possible to tap into it. And that's why in this discussion, things like alignment become so very important. Just as surely as there's only a few spots on this wall over here where you can actually get a jolt of something that'll make your drill run or your vacuum cleaner vacuum. And you can't just stick that in the wall anywhere. Now, you think that's a stupid assertion, but do you know there were Russians in World War II that came to Europe and took down chandeliers and brought them home and hung them in their houses in Russia and didn't understand why the light wouldn't come on? They were amazed. They said, look, no, it worked there. They thought, but they didn't understand the concept. But there's places where you can plug that in and get what Brother Travis and his friends produce for us. And there's places where you can plug in. There are portals where as you move in the fourth, you can plug in. And when you get in alignment, it's not just the fourth that you're touching. But it's what's above it and what's above that. And eye has not seen and ear hasn't heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man. Now, God said, but he has revealed it to us by his spirit. That is not a third dimensional interaction. That's coming down from somewhere else. And other people don't get it because they're not in alignment with it. That's why as we're having this discussion, something like alignment becomes extremely important. Justin, that's why it's so important for you to be in alignment with authority. Because your authority, where is she? She must be. You migrated. You're messing me up because you're always over there. Okay. But do you know that you are a portal for him to a higher dimension? And if he gets tangled up in all the third dimension questions and all the things that he doesn't understand and he just plants his foot and doesn't want to get in alignment with you, he can't go any further. You want to go do great things in God? There's the portal. And it's yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and how high, ma'am, and how fast. Now, Sister Shaw, you really should be shouting right now. She is shouting. Yeah. Because that is a biblical concept that becomes, as you align with it, it becomes a portal to further exploration of everything that's up there. Is this a lousy use of a Wednesday night? Are you okay? You okay? I want to go. You know what? There has never been, I'm just going to tell you right now, there has never been a church quite like this in Birmingham, Alabama. Never has been. There's been some good apostolic churches here, but I'll just tell you, there's never been one this nuts, and there's never been one this multicultural, and there's never been one this prepared to go the distance. I'm just telling you, you've got what it takes to go the distance for what God wants to do in this city. And I just got a question. Would you like to see what's up there? Would you like to see what God has for this place and this people? This is going to take a lot of Wednesday nights. Come down around the altar, would you? Everybody. Get with family if you can. And if you don't have family, adopt somebody real quick. In the Old Testament, they could divorce by just saying, I divorce thee, I divorce thee. So if you're adopting somebody, just say, I adopt thee, I adopt thee. Traffic jam right in here. We need to make room. Move along, move along. Come on down close. Come on, while you're there gathering with them, just tell them, I want to see everything God has for us. Don't you? I don't want to just drink from what this world has. I want to see what God has for an apostolic revival church. I really do want to see what it looks like to have 100 get the Holy Ghost in one night. I really do want to see what it looks like to find a bunch of young people wired up, just completely given to the things of God. You know what? You've got kids coming up. Well, you've got kids already up. Let me just talk to you for a minute. If she starts gravitating toward fourth dimensional worldly music, for example, and she wants to whack her hair and let it hang down her face and dye it jet black and put an anvil in her nose, you can't dissuade her by just third dimensional fussing and reproach or truth. Don't do that. Don't. But you rather have to have a fourth dimensional experience. I don't preach much about our kids listening to worldly music. I just say, let's have something better in the house. Amen. Something that's got some life in it. You understand? We can't do what God's called us to do without higher dimensional experiences. We're not interested in languishing at these lower levels. We're hungry for what God has for us. Are you? Lay your hands on the ones you love there around you, and I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray, God, just open up the heavens and pour forth a great blessing. God, draw them, build them, strengthen, oh God, cause them to prosper.
All things are possible.
Help them to hear your voice,
all
oh God.
Things are possible.
Help them to know you. And bless his name. Praise God. Anybody got a vibrant prayer life going on? You're hearing from God and God's talking to you. Anybody got prophecy taking place right now in your life? Has anybody experienced a healing here in just the last little bit? My God. We could go right down that list from Mark chapter 1. You know what? It's all around you tonight. God's doing a wonderful work in this house and in this people. My. The best is yet to come. Brother Jeff, Brother Josh, whether whoever else, do you guys have concrete plans for Friday night? Could we have question the pastor session for about 30 minutes? We don't have youth? Well, that takes care of that. Forget about it. No, if you don't have it scheduled, don't do it. We'll do it after ARC. Sorry to have this private conversation in front of you. Forget about that. Forget I ever asked that. All of you forget I ever asked that. Remember, if you've got a camper at children's camp, I need to meet with you in the prayer room here right after service. God bless you. Bring somebody to church. Brother Greg Godwin in the house Sunday morning, Sunday night. And there are ARC flyers in the foyer.